I'd like to start today talking about something called mirroring. In Jeremiah, here's what it says. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." What Jeremiah is saying, the prophet Jeremiah is testifying to what's left of the kingdom of Judah. And he's making them a promise. This is Old Testament. He's making them a promise. And the context is that kingdom of Judah, you are going to be scattered. You're going to be shoved off. The nation of Israel had already been shoved off. They had been captured by the empire of the Assyrians. And now the Judeans were going to be captured also by the empire of the Babylonians. But when you read this, what he says to them is, I'm letting you go. I'm going to let you because God is a God of His Word. And he said, if you don't follow what you're supposed to, and you're not following the rules, the regulations, and if you're failing in those, then I've provided sacrifices. And if you fail to properly appreciate and understand the sacrifices, and you turn your back and you turn away from me, then I am going to step back and let the nations come in and take you away from this land. And he says, that's what's happening. You are going to be duly punished. But he showed them this grace, which he did not show the nations. If you read that properly and slowly, he says that the nations that I scatter you to are going to be obliterated. They're going to be gone. But you, I will not wipe off the face of the earth. I will leave you a remnant, a seed people. You are my chosen, but you will suffer some punishment because I said that if you didn't follow my teachings, you would go through this. Now, he is backing up his word. And if you will go through history today, go through history, including what's going on today, you'll see that God is totally faithful to the things that he said. There is no people of Assyria. There is no nation of Assyria. There is no Assyrian empire. The dirt that they ruled is still there. There are people who still live in that vast area. But the nation itself, the Assyrians, no longer exist. The dirt of the Babylonian empire is still over there. But the Babylonians themselves are gone. The empire of Babylon, which was once the greatest empire on the face of the earth, is gone. But God said to the children of Israel, the children of Judah, I'll be faithful to you. I'll have mercy on you. Yes, you'll go through some punishment, but you will always have a seed. And today, yes, the dirt of the promised land is still over there. And God being faithful, there is a nation of Israel who is populated, or what that nation is populated by Jewish people. God keeps His word, and God is faithful. And the reason I bring this up is because I want us to understand that if God is faithful to them, how much more is He going to be faithful to us? With them, yes, they are His chosen nation. And he was trying to herd them in a particular way, probably like herding cats. I don't know if you ever tried to herd a cat, let alone a bunch of cats. It would be like God trying to herd these cats and get them to all go the same way. And they worked on, and he judged them at a national level. As the nation fell, so did all the people. When the nation turned away, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the beautiful all got deported. Even the people who were trying to be faithful as a nation, they all got deported to Assyria, or they all got deported to Babylon. But we live under a better covenant than what they do. God is faithful, and we live under that better covenant because we're not being judged as a nation. God calls us, each and every one, as individuals. Yes, the country of the United States is blessed by God. But as the nation goes, does not mean that's the way we're going to be treated. Because we are God's select people. We are the individuals that He chose. What makes us unique as opposed to just the nation of Israel, the chosen people of God. We are select individuals who are the children of God. And if He treats the nation of God with mercy, how much more is He going to treat us with mercy and grace? They depended upon the sacrifice of animals. We depend upon the sacrifice of Christ. The Son of God Himself, He came down and He washed away our sins. God Himself provided for us. And I would like to read to you a verse out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. But it's going to be read out of the Amplified Version. And the beauty of the Amplified, or the hard part of the Amplified, depending on how you're trying to read it, is it will take a word and then it will also supply the various meanings into that sentence so that we don't have to go from the Scripture and go over to a dictionary and say, well, what does that word mean in the original Greek? Or what does that word mean in the original Hebrew? They amplify it and they take the best meaning and stretch all those meanings together and all the nuances together. So if we just read it as a verse, it says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. But this is the Amplified. This is the, you're getting the full flavor here. May grace, which is God's favor, and peace. And this is what peace is. May grace, which is God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being. Peace is all the necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is the preferred, perfect well-being, all necessary goods, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you as you have the full, personal, precise, correct knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. He's saying, as you understand God more fully, personally, precise, and correct, all of these blessings of grace and peace, that well-being and that spiritual prosperity and that freedom from fear will be multiplied. Not added on, but will be multiplied to you. This whole idea of mirroring, I want to go back to just a little bit. Some people are grumpy. And some people are hateful. And some people are angry. A lot of anger is expression, actually, of a hurt. And so people who are perpetually angry have some kind of perpetual hurt. Now, people will reflect what they think the world or how the world perceives them. If they feel diminished or belittled, a lot of times they will diminish and belittle other people because they're reflecting how they think other people are perceiving them. So they mirror those feelings back. They can put up a good front for a while, but eventually what we do is sourced, remember, in what we are. So our doing and our speech is going to be a reflection of who we actually are. That's why I complimented you all. It is because you are gracious ladies. You're wonderful ladies. You're high-born ladies. And you reflect that. And I hope you do it consistently and not just here in the presence of the church or not just here in my presence or not just trying to snow somebody because you're wanting something. But I hope that you live your life out. And if you realize that you are being snarky or hateful, if you'll stop and consider, it's probably because you think people are viewing you as belittled or, you know, just it's a reflection of what's inside of you. And so at this point, I want you to know that if God was gracious to a nation people, how much more gracious will He be to you, His children, blood bought by His only begotten Son's sacrifice. How much more does He care about you? They had to continually sacrifice. But we are His chosen children. One time Christ laid His life down. One time He died. Then He rose from the dead and He said, anyone that believes in Me, you are now the children of God. We are in that favored position. But that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have feelings. Do you have feelings of being overwhelmed? Sometimes I do. Do you have feelings of being alone? Now, I live alone, but that's different from being alone, loneliness. Do you have feelings of insecurity? Notice the words I'm using. Do you have feelings of being overwhelmed? Feelings of loneliness? Feelings of insecurity? That's what they are. Just feelings. Because this is what the reality of the situation is. Psalm chapter 139. I just want to read to you what the prophet David said. Yeah, he was the king and he did live under the Old Testament. But when you read about him in the New Testament, it is always, he was blessed because he is in the list of those of faith. He understood walking by faith. Psalm 139, 8 through 12. If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. Do you feel overwhelmed? Don't. Do you feel overwhelmed by darkness and just... But it's a feeling. That's what He's saying. Remember, you feel that way because you think that that's how people are projecting and that's how you feel in your heart and your life. But the reality is, God is saying, you are not overwhelmed. Even in the darkest night, I am there. Even if you go to hell, I am there. If you think you go to hell, I am there. If you think you're miserable, I am there. You are not overwhelmed. You may feel it, you may think it, but reality is different. Reality on the alone thing, if you let me go to John chapter 14. Verse 16 and 17. John 14. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is the Spirit of truth, and He does not lie. The Spirit doesn't lie. You have no reason to feel lonely. You might feel lonely, I should say it that way. You may feel lonely, but the Spirit does not lie. The Spirit is dwelling with you. You have a constant companion. You are never alone. According to Psalm, you can never be overwhelmed by the situations that you're in. According to this, the Spirit dwells in you. You are not alone. Are you insecure? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You are a guaranteed victor. This is the victory that overcometh. You have already overcame because it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's a guarantee. God is faithful to His Word. If He destroyed the Babylonian Empire, if He destroyed the Assyrian Empire, just for those remnant few people of His chosen people, how much more is your God going to bless you as His children? As His very own blood-bought bride, how much more is He going to be there for you? I want you to know, you may have these feelings, but it's time we start saying, the word of my God is, I shall not be overcome. The word of my God is, I am not alone. The word of my God is, I am secure. The word of my God says that I am kept in His hand, and no one will take me out of His hand. The word of my God says this, and keep saying it over and over. The word of my God says, because once you realize that the people and what they think of you, puny humans, what does it matter what they think of you? The Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, He says, I'm His child, and I'm never alone. And He loves me, and He'll take care of me. And I'm secure in Him because He'll always be right there. I don't care what those people say anymore because I'm reflecting back what God thinks of me, what God shines into my life. His Word, and He is faithful to His Word, says that I'm secure. His Word says I am never alone. His Word says that I have the victory. His Word says that to me, and He's greater than the puny humans over here and what their lowly opinions are. I care not. This is what I reflect. The Word of my God. And as we come to understand and stand on the Word of our God, our feelings will change. Because we're reflecting the truth of what is going on with us. Choose to dwell on, choose to stand on, and choose to repeat again and again and again those promises of God. Remember, we will mirror back what we think people think of us, the average person. But we as Christians should be mirroring back into this world what God thinks of us. And that is security, grace, dignity, highbornness, genteel if you're a lady, and gallant if you're a man. These are concepts of what God thinks of you, and we need to learn to live up to those. Forgive those puny humans and their affront toward us, because we are now highborn people, the children of God, and God thinks better of us than those people out there. He thinks better of us so we can react to them in a higher, not condescending way, because once we were like them, not in a condescending way, but we don't have to get down to their level and we don't have to reflect their hatred, their anger, their snarkiness. We don't have to be sarcastic toward them. All we have to do is just say, my God loves me. And in that secure thought, we can live our life. And as my gift to you ladies, I'm done. And so I believe at this time we're supposed to have Chuck make some presentations, and that's going to be followed by some entertainment.